Okay, let me just start off by saying I am so sorry to my listeners. I think I'm having some technical difficulties. I can't really hear. I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere, USA. So I'm going to be taking this show a little bit more trepidatiously. I did invite a lot of my colleagues and connections to ask me the questions really that are important when we're talking about synergy, when we're talking about relationships. What matters most to you personally? Well, being together. I know that sounds oversimplified to some people, but really, how can we be together in a more healthful way? When we have synergy, we come together, we make each other's lives better or worse. There is no neutral energy. We know that we have power over each other. If you want to call in and ask me a question, I'm going to be talking about a lot of different topics today that have one main theme: your positive energy. The number is 888-627-6008. That's directly to the station. But you know what? Honestly, when we're talking about what we create when we come together, again, since there is no neutral energy, ask yourself, how often are you positive? Just in your mood. How often are you negative? How often are you indifferent? You know what? Indifferent is actually negative energy. Sometimes we say, well, I don't care. So it's not my problem. Well, you know what? That is a problem because people can feel you. They can feel your energy and they know when you don't care. It hurts them to feel when you don't care. Again, there is no neutral energy. So then you're either contributing to a solution or you're propelling a problem. You know, it's funny because that's something that Dr. Phil says. And these last few days, I've been watching reruns of Dr. Phil on, it's not satellite, it's not cable, I don't know, it's something else. But I've been watching the things that he says to people. He actually propels the negative energy. And when I was deciding how I wanted to help people in my career, I thought, I really don't like the fact that the mental health industry and the pharmaceutical industry in the United States are both very destructive to people. First of all, they focus only on what's negative. Well, that right there creates negative energy, people. Come on. That's just common sense. Then the pharmaceutical industry, when we pump ourselves full of chemicals, we don't have the capacity, the mental capacity, and the emotional fortitude to deal with the actual issue, the problem. What's the problem? Okay, well, let me get started on that. No, let's go ahead and focus on what's right about ourselves and each other first. Then we can create a solution. We can edify, build each other up, fortify, strengthen each other. When we come together, then we become exponentially more powerful. Okay, the synergy definition, basically, when we come together, we are exponentially more powerful than we are when we are apart. So let's go ahead and do this logistically. Okay, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, every person is has a monetary, or I'm sorry, not monetary, that's money, a numerical value. Okay, a three. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, a three. Another person is a six. Another person is an eight. Well, you would think, okay, if I'm a three and you're a six and you're an eight, okay, so that's a total of 18. No, what, three times six times eight? We are 144 when we're together, not 18. Okay, so do you appreciate that you have that much power in the world, in your life, in other people's lives? A lot of people just want to use indifference as a get out of jail free card. Well, then if it's not my problem and I don't care, then I haven't affected anybody. I haven't created any problems. Yeah, you have, because again, when we're talking about three times six times eight, 144, that's either positive or it's negative energy. You are either bringing positive or negative energy into the world. And when people, experts, mental health professionals really focus on negativity, they are inhibiting the progress and the growth and development of the people that they are claiming to help. Well, okay, you know what? We have power. Well, that comes with a responsibility. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, responsibility demands accountability. Ask yourself, who do you believe that you are accountable to? Willing to account your actions in your own mind. What do you believe? Some people say, you know what, God, ultimately my higher power, what I do and what I say and what I am, I'm going to pay for it with a big man upstairs. Well, some people will say, I'm agnostic, or I'm even atheist. I don't have that kind of value system. Well, what about the law? When you drive, when you're driving, you obey laws, traffic laws. You're accountable to a higher authority. Okay. How about the people in your life that love you? Are you responsible to them, not for them, to them, accountable, so that when you have an experience, when you have a decision, when you are creating something in life, you have to care about them. Wow. Okay. Well, how about the people that you don't know? The people in a restaurant as you walk through the door and they're standing in a line. Do you believe you're accountable to them for the things that you say and do? How about the mood that you're in? The other day, I was standing in a restaurant waiting for food, and you know what? The employees, they couldn't get it together. And I could tell that the customers were getting frustrated. I actually went up to two men who were standing there getting very agitated, and I was waiting with my husband and daughter. And I said, "Hey, guys, can I ask you a question?" And they were kind of startled. And they said, "Well, yeah, I guess." I said, "I have a son who's very, very quirky in his sense of humor. He told me a joke the other day. Arguing with a woman is like reading the terms and conditions. Ultimately, you just ignore everything they say and agree." Do you think that's true, you guys? They busted out laughing. And they said, "Absolutely." And it drives us crazy. And I said, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure he wasn't making that up." But we do get annoying after a while, don't we? And they kind of got embarrassed and said, "Yeah, actually." I said, "Okay, well, oh, it looks like your food's ready. Have a great day." Look, how much did that take? How much time did that take? Not much, maybe a minute. And after the initial reaction of, "Who are you and what do you want? What do you want?" Yeah, you can be disarming when you smile. But what is your smile like? Really genuinely heartfelt happiness is contagious. And that's what the synergy is about. You know what? You have the opportunity to make people's lives better. Do you look for opportunities to make people's lives better? Well, okay. So then as a life coach, I actually was told, no, you have a specialty. You need to have a niche, right? Because a life coach can be anything. Life is a very big, broad, general concept. And I said, okay, so I've been doing this for a few years now. What do my clients come to me mostly for? What do they consistently, repeatedly ask me for? Advice about relationships, but really communication and conflict resolution. And I said, okay, so let's go ahead and make that. I'm not going to be a life coach. I'm going to be a relationship coach, but teaching people how to communicate and effectively, successfully connect to each other. If anything that I'm saying right now begs a question inside of you or raises an issue for you, please don't hesitate to call in. The number to this station is 888-627-6008. And I will answer your question live on the air. I had some people asking me questions, but yeah, they're at the end of the show. If no one else calls in, then I'll definitely bring up those issues. When we're talking about relationships and conflict resolution, a lot of people came to me as an expert because they saw my relationship with my husband or my relationship with my kids. And that's another thing that drives them nuts. They go to a mental health expert, a marriage counselor, and the guy is divorced, or the woman doesn't, well, she doesn't really think marriage is necessary. She's living with her lover, but they're not. What? People actually came to me and said, "Okay, I want what you have. Tell me how I can have what you have." Conflict resolution is great, but what's even better is conflict prevention. And I just got to tell everybody this. When my son was about 12 years old, he literally was going around telling his friends, "Hey, my mom's a shrink. My mom's a shrink." I said, "Baby, you got to stop saying that. I am not a shrink." He turned around and looked at me and said, very with a complete straight face, "Mom, you are the worst kind of shrink. You're a shrink in denial." And I think in that moment, he became my favorite. Just very briefly, okay, because I love all my children equally. But that was such a cool quip. It was such a great remark because, you know what? I had to tell him, no, a shrink tries to fix what's wrong. A coach tells you how to score in the game of life. You need equipment. You need tools. You need resources and support. You need a strategy. What do coaches give you? They give you a strategy and the support to really know where you're going in the game of life and how to succeed. And you know what? If you fail in the process, you come back and we have a little conference and we regroup and we re-strategize and say, okay, based on what just happened, how are we going to succeed? Yeah, it's important when people come to me and say, I don't even know what the problem is. Why don't you just help me figure out the game that I'm playing in life? Yeah, in relationships, that's important for you to know before you even get into a relationship. Before you even start fighting with a person that you love more than anything in the world, you can have a good quality soul and an honest heart, intention, motivation. You have gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. But if you don't know how to play the game, if you don't know how to score in your relationship, it's not going to last very long because you're going to feel overwhelmed. That goes back to your positive energy. You have to propel positive energy. So let's go ahead and take an inventory now. Excuse me. Something that I've really been passionate about for I want to say about 3/4 of my life. I'm just about pushing 50 now. So when I was 12, 13 years old, I really thought, why are women so angry? My aunts, my mother, my media icons that I looked up to. I mean, that included people like Roseanne and shows like Sex in the City before they were really widespread in the late 90s, early 2000s. Constantly making men look stupid and selfish and lazy and the enemy. They were basically the enemy because of feminism. I was born in 76. We really heard all the time as a Generation X that men are the enemy. Women are the competition. Ladies, do you know how you genuinely feel about men in general? One of the favorite lines of one of my favorite movies was when John Cusack was speaking to his sister in the movie, who, by the way, happens to be his sister in real life. He said, "Geez," she goes, "What?" They were bickering about something. He's like, "Get in a good mood. How hard is it to just decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood?" She got this little sneer on her face and said, "Gee, it's easy." And then he goes over to her and he says, "Look, remember, you used to be warped and twisted and hilarious. You used to be fun." Yeah, you know what? How often are we fun, ladies? How often are we angry and confrontational and frustrated and overwhelmed? We have the ability as women to make life better or worse for everybody. Men, each other, our children. How often do you make a situation better with your positive energy? Okay, you know what? Let's just say we're in a bad mood. How do we get back in a good mood? Okay, today I'm going to be talking to ladies about how to get in a really good mood. And when we get around each other and when we get around men, whether we know them and love them or whether we've never met them. And you know what? What if we work with them, but we never see them? How can we create that positive, powerful energy that other people around us will absorb and exponentially become better people? Again, the number to call in is 888-627-6008. Okay, so when I think about a really good example of how we use humor, but kind of in a toxic way. We laugh. Yeah, laughing is good. But how often is it sarcasm? I use the example of the computer's gender joke. The Spanish teacher was explaining to the class that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine, and they need an article, el or la. It's not just the, right? So you have to know if the word is feminine or masculine. Well, one of the students raised her hand and said, is it El Computador or La Computadora? And the teacher said, well, do you think it's more like a man or a woman? Just funny, right? Just playfully. And they said, no, you know what? Never mind. I take back the question. And she said, no, you know what? Let's go ahead and make a game out of this. Men over here, women over there. You guys talk it out and tell me if you think this thing's more like a guy or a gal. And the men pull out the pen and paper and they start writing down a list. And she goes, what are you writing down? What are you telling me what you're writing down? And they said, yeah, no, we're pretty sure this thing's a chick. And she said, okay, tell me what you got on your list there. They said four reasons. Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they can interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And finally, you spend half your paycheck on accessories for them. The teacher turned around to look at the ladies and said, oh my God, I'm drowning here. Those are all great answers. Tell me you can save me. And the lady said, no, yeah, no, this thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got reasons too. Four of them. Number one, they won't do anything for you if you don't turn them on. Number two, you can give them information all day long. They still will never think for themselves. Number three, they claim to be able to solve any problem in your life. But you know what? In real life, when push comes to shove, they're usually the damn problem. And most importantly, you know, if you just waited 6 months, you could have had a much better one. Okay, now, yes, we can all agree that those are great reasons why we love to hate each other, men and women. We get frustrated with each other, but think about this now. Even when we're talking about the men's reasons why they think it's a woman and the frustration that they feel, almost all of the things that the men listed were the women's unhappiness. And the reasons that the women listed were their unhappiness, their own unhappiness. Fact is, men aren't usually unhappy with women. They're just unhappy that their women are not happy. And they're trying, they're genuinely trying. They're just failing miserably. Maybe that's out of ignorance. They just genuinely don't know. Maybe it's because they are lazy. They don't want to do the work. But you know what? One of my colleagues, here, let me pull this up here. One of my colleagues asked the question. He said, I'd love it if you could answer this on your show if I can't listen in live. How can a man fill his woman's heart with an abundance of love? Oh, that was so cute. How many men genuinely do want their women to be abundantly happy? You know what, guys? You need to find a woman who genuinely does want to be that way first, because you cannot put love in her heart if it is not there. All you can do is bring out what is already there. Help her manifest. And the best way that you can do that is by communication. It's very important to effectively know how to communicate with her. And I'll tell you something, my good friend, my dear friend, you need to know her nature, her personality, because five men can come to me with the exact same struggle, the exact same challenge. I would give them five completely different answers based on the personality of the woman that they are with. There is no one universal answer. You have to know her, yes, love language, that's important, but also her functionality. When I explain personality profiles to people, there are different ways of doing the exact same thing based on what is the most important to the least important to you, to them, to a person. Everybody has to do everything in life. Find out the functional order and know the most important priority in their life. Speak their language of love through their personality. Yes, getting a personality profile can be expensive and it can be painful. It can be tedious, or it can be very simple. It does not have to be something complicated or frustrating, if you know where to go. So another thing that I'm offering my colleagues and my connections and even my followers on LinkedIn, because I have a lot of them now. If you want to have your personality profile or the profile of someone that you genuinely love because you want to understand them better, I'll go ahead and give you half off. Just because wanting to do the work is It is 90% of succeeding. You have to want to do it because, again, if you have that good positive energy of, yeah, I'm committed to this, I'm definitely going to follow through on what I start, and I'm willing to put the time and the energy and the effort, sincere effort, to make this work. Positive always conquers negative. And as long as you stick to keep your nose to the grindstone, we'll call it that, right? Stick to your guns in your commitment to making your relationship better. The love that you can bring out of her really can be the foundation for everything that you do as a couple. Okay. Now, when we're talking about the attitudes that women have just in general, okay, you know what? It's okay, because it's not even really our fault, ladies. We grew up, again, with TV shows and music and movies, especially since feminism in the 50s really started to expand. Originally, it started out just with women wanting equality. We wanted the same job opportunity. Hello? We got a caller?
All right.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Trying to get back to used to this Washington weather. Do we have a caller wanting to ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead and put it through. Hi. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Gabriel. It's
Hi.
Don Boyce. Hi.
Okay.
Hi. So we're talking about appreciating your partner as opposed to being critical. And
yeah.
I work as a marriage counselor, and we talk a lot about, hey, do you like the person? Are you fond of the person? Do you appreciate?
Yes.
Are you grateful for the person? Or are you constantly pointing out where they stink as a person? And so I wonder if you have thoughts on that.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, because if you were to, and I know this sounds cheesy, but if you were to hypnotize them and kind of take them out of the equation and just look at their thoughts and their feelings, something brought them together. Something really good and positive and powerful brought them together. But all of these other things in their life, their mundane daily life, usually is about their negative attitude that has nothing to do with their partner. If a person can take a step back and say, okay, how often am I in a bad mood in general? That is undermining the good things that they do like. Yes, honey, I love my mother. I can't stand her. Okay, you like the person that you're with. You just might have forgotten why. Because life and negative energy has shifted your focus, even to the point of your perspective of that person. And that's why I always say, get back to know that person on the most fundamental level of their personality. You will see, again, the strengths and gifts and talents and abilities of that person in the most social, right, non-romantic way, just who they are as a person. And then you will remember why you liked that person enough to want to love them. Yeah, we can love a lot of people. That doesn't mean we want to spend all day every day with them. When we like our partner, sometimes we just need to be reminded of why we like them, because obviously they got something going on that you really loved in the first place. You just might need to remind yourself or to search through it again, but you have to be in a good mood and a good positive energy mindset while you're doing it, or you're not going to succeed.
Love it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I love the question, because you know what? It's a universally more and more common everyday question.
Awesome. Thank you, Gabriel. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your day,
okay.
Don.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So when we're talking about something that, you know, that actually made me think of in that question, there was a movie that I watched as a young girl, and I even watched it recently as an adult with my daughter, and that was The Sound of Music. Very different times, very different relationship dynamics. But one of the boys, one of the young boys, I think his name was Kurt, was looking at the party that his father was having. The children were outside, and they were looking in at the adults because it was a very formal event. And one of the sisters said, "You're just saying that because you're afraid of women." And he literally turned around and looked at her and said, "No, only grown men are afraid of women." Okay, now you know what? Again, that was humor. But you know what? As a little girl, I was being told that that's the case, that men are afraid of women. No, they're not. That was a lie. Oh, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Yeah, when you get married, you're going to get fat and old and ugly because you have kids, and then your husband's not going to want you anymore. He's not going to be attracted to you anymore. Okay, that's complete and total garbage. Let me just tell you, some men actually like their women a little more squishy. Okay, and when I had kids, my husband loved it. He actually thought it was fun. We had fun as parents because, yeah, we kind of saw our kids as toys, but we also knew that when we were working together, having a good time together, I knew my husband's personality, so I knew what to do. And more importantly, I knew what not to do. We avoided a lot of the conflicts that often come up when couples just genuinely are frustrated with their daily life activities. But when a woman is looking at her husband saying to him, "You want to work with me, right? You want to have a good time with me?" Men love that about women. And especially if a woman is saying to him, "Look, I am getting in a really bad mood. I need to get back into a good mood," like on that movie. A man would always say, "Hey, sweetie, you tell me what you need me to do to get you in a good mood, or what you need to do for yourself, for yourself, through yourself, by yourself." Okay. And then don't your imaginations go off the deep end. For me, it was stretching. I said, "You know what? You're not going to like me. I am devolving into some wicked witch with a B, and I need to get myself back centered." And he said, "Okay, honey, the room is over there. I'll see you when you get done." You know, the great thing too, I'll just give people out there a little secret. My kids, they were absolutely fine with me saying directly to them, "Mommy's got to go take care of daddy in the bedroom. When we come out, we are both going to be so much better for you guys." Yeah, kids are okay with a woman taking care of her man and a man taking care of her woman at their own expense. Yeah, you know what? You're not going to be around us for a little while. But when we come back, the quality of our soul has gone up so much that the synergy again becomes powerful. As a family, we're all working together and we've got that strength and we've got that emotional energy and love and happiness that we can really make each other better people. Now, when we're talking about our social politics, when we go out of the home, okay, we have to deal with people. You are either going to make people's lives better when you come into them, or you're going to make them worse. But keep in mind that I've always said, good conquers evil. My husband and children and I, we have gone into restaurants, we've gone into grocery stores, and when there was a family fighting with each other over whatever it was, or sometimes they're all on a cell phone, they're all literally at the table in a restaurant on their electronic devices looking at each other. When we would make jokes and have fun, because one of our policies is you do not pull your electronic device out when we're having a good quality family time together, that being around our laughter made the other families happier. And actually the volume in an establishment went up when we were together having a not obnoxiously loud conversation, but an energetic conversation where when you're happy or when you're laughing, the volume goes up. Yeah, we got a lot of people who are just ready to fight with each other. And especially with COVID-19, they get away from each other. They take a step back. Having our faces covered and not being able to touch each other made us kind of suspicious. So when we're disarming each other with our laughter, or if we're looking at people and smiling as we walk down the street, saying, "Hi, how are you?" It takes all of 5 seconds, but people can feel your energy. That doesn't have to be an issue. When we are with people, when you are around somebody, ask yourself, does the politics of the emotionally charged fighting attitude and division, does that have to stop you from being an amazing person to the person that you are going to be around for 12 to 15 seconds and then never again? Okay, so that's kind of a lifelong question to ask yourself, because as a work in progress, we're always going to need to improve in some areas. But when we're also talking about knowing yourself, That may be tough, a job in and of itself, because we can't see the forest for the trees. Some people call it mindfulness. Okay, it's very popular. There are certain buzzwords that people just want to say because it makes them feel more intelligent, okay, more strong, more confident. But mindfulness, what you need to know how you were born, because when we're talking about our experiences in life, they don't change your personality. I'm just going to cover a little bit of the personality. And again, the number is 888-627-6008. Sorry, I keep forgetting to tell you guys that. Okay. But knowing how you were born, you will be able to interpret the things that have happened to you, because I use this example, the exact same person, or well, no, let me say it this way. Five different people can have the exact same experience. They're going to respond to it differently. So when you know who you are, then you can more honestly and objectively look at what has happened to you, because you're not going to be as critical and judgmental. Then you will be able to, if you do need to go to a counselor or a therapist, take a real inventory of who and where and what you are right now in your life. But that's just a starting point. That will be the foundation for all of the things that you will proceed to do to make your situation better. Getting to know yourself, getting to understand yourself, that is what helps you to accept yourself. That doesn't mean you didn't ever make any mistakes. You're just going to turn those stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Yeah, that's a little cliche too, but think about it. If you have that knowledge, that is power, and power comes with responsibility. Responsibility demands accountability. Who are you accountable to first? Yourself, to make positive choices, to make people's lives better. You know that when you have something invaluable to offer, that's much more important than money. Your time and your wisdom and your generosity, your unconditional love. Yeah, that makes the world a better place. You're not going to stop war. You're not going to remove political corruption. You're not going to end financial struggle. You are just going to make sure that everything around you is better when you walk away than it was when you approached it. Okay, so when we're talking about things like what do we truly want in life? Well, okay, Americans really like their freedom to fight, their freedom to say and do and be whatever they want. Well, okay, that's nice. So now that you've said and done and been all the things that you want, do you believe that there is more joy in giving than in receiving? That's a very critical element, giving from the heart. And then giving someone else that joy, that pleasure by receiving what they are giving you. When someone has created a gift in some way, some kind of generous expression to you, for you, accepting that and appreciating it, that gives them the positive energy, the good, fulfilling experience. Those are also things that are invaluable in the relationship dynamic, in the pieces of society that we create. You know what? Unfortunately, technology has undermined human relationships. It's called social media, and that's something of a misnomer. It's made us antisocial. Okay, let's just be honest with each other. And I like to tell people, technology has undermined human relationships because it has corrupted our communication. Okay, now just think about this possibility. If we think at about 200 words per minute, because we don't think in words, we think in concepts. But if you were to put your concept into words, that'd be 200 words per minute that you think. You speak at about 180. So 20 of those words are kind of going somewhere. We only listen at 160. We read at about 100. If we are good, you type at about 50. Most people average between 20 and 30 to text. So think about that. If you're thinking at 200 words a minute and you're texting 20 to 30, that's only 10% of your thought. That's 90% of your soul. That's your thoughts and your feelings that are not being conveyed. How much of that was really important for the other person to know? But most importantly, the eye contact, I'm thinking in Spanish now, sense stress, modulation, intonation, inflection, pausing, volume, all of those things that are the person. Technology literally removes the person from the experience. Well, you can't have a relationship with that kind of communication when we use our technology to communicate with each other instead of physically being with each other. We are depriving ourselves of a vital element of that human connection. How many times would you be willing to, you know what, I'm not going to text, I'm going to pick up the phone and call just to hear someone's voice, and so they can hear your voice. I'll give you an example. Two words, okay? Would you? Now, you can say, would you? Okay? You can say, would you? Well, that conveyed the, oh, I don't really trust you. Would you? Then there's, would you? Which means I'm going to justify what I'm doing and I'm going to turn the tables to make you feel bad about yourself. Then there's, would you? Which is, wow, I'm getting to know who you are as a person. Then there's, would you? Which is, please, please don't make me do this. Look at that. There are only two words. The volume, the intonation, and the inflection really, really changed the message. So when we're talking about 500 words back and forth in text messaging, what do you think the accuracy is in the person's mind that you're communicating with? The accuracy of what you're trying to convey, their understanding, and how about yours of them? Well, good enough is good enough. No, not in relationships. You are either making a relationship better or you're making it worse. Women, we have an amazing ability. I just want to talk strictly to you now. Now, it's not popular that I like to say, yeah, I'm a submissive wife. Honey, that doesn't mean that I don't have my own ideas. It doesn't mean I'm not strong-willed. It does not mean I'm not independent. It just means that when push comes to shove, I let him have the final say. But there's reasons why I do that. Now, stay with me, ladies. First of all, because then if things go wrong, I can say, okay, so you have a responsibility to fix what's wrong. What do you want me to do that we can work together? Because you made a stupid decision. You made a bad decision. Let's let it go. Let's move on. I have thoughts and opinions and suggestions and ideas. You know what? Men are actually very open to listening to us, as long as we're not witches about it, okay? And some of my favorite scriptures are in Proverbs. And keep in mind, the guy who wrote Proverbs had 500 wives, so he knows about women. He said things like, it's better to sleep on the corner of a roof alone as a man than with a woman looking for a fight. Yeah, it's true. Or a nagging wife is like a leaky roof on a rainy day. We can be very annoying. The great thing about men, they're very simple creatures. They don't need a whole lot. They're very basic. And as long as we're working with them and we're creating positive energy in their life, they're very easy to please and they're very willing to work with you. One of the things that I remember my husband saying as we were dating, because again, this was way back 30 years ago when I was still relatively young and listening to women who gave me a lot of inaccurate information. He actually said to me, okay, so let me throw this one at you. If we were married for 10 years, we had kids, we had a good life, and I came home one day from work and said, all right, I'm going to be honest with you. I had an affair. I slept with a woman. I don't love her. I love you. It was a mistake. I'm sorry for what I did. I'll never do it again. Please forgive me. He said, would you forgive me? I said, of course I would. He said, really? I said, yes. He said, why? I said, first of all, because you were honest. And if you're honest with me, then I can trust you. Number two, if we have a good marriage, I'm not going to throw it away just because you did one stupid thing one time. I mean, first of all, you're Mexican, so you're practically raised to be unfaithful. And if a woman seduced you, you can't really say no. And third, you know what? If I love you and you love me, we can overcome anything. And he said, wrong. I said, what? What are you talking about? And he said, no, a man never accidentally has an affair. If I'm sleeping with another woman, it's because I'm not with you anymore. Whoa. Okay. Duly noted. Men, you know what, ladies? Men are very fiercely loyal creatures. Sex is very important to them. It is a huge part of how they express their love. When we take care of a man and we make sure that he is emotionally cared for in that way, he will stay with us. It doesn't matter if another woman seduces him. If his heart is with you, he will stay with you. Just be the kind of woman that his heart wants to be with. That's the question. Would you want to be with you? Are you in a good mood? Are you easy to communicate with? You have the power to make him absolutely crazy. Men can't make us crazy the way we can. And we all know that. Don't we inherently some way know that? We can manipulate them. We can guilt trip them. We can confuse them. We can take advantage of them. Men really don't have that power over us. So when you have the power of synergy, when it comes to the men in your life, whether they are your life partner, your business partner, your son, yeah, the cashier at the store that you go to, make sure you treat them with the dignity and appreciation and respect as a man that they deserve. If you have good, positive energy with them, around them, for them, that's going to make them a better man. That's going to take something good that they already have inside and enhance it exponentially. We don't add to each other. We multiply each other. That's the most important thing in life. And again, if you didn't get a chance to call in today, because I know a lot of people were listening, but I'm in a new time slot, so I'm going to give it a couple weeks for people to get used to my new place on the radio station. I have a website, synergyrelationshipcoaching.com, but I also have an email address just for my listeners, and that's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to be letting my connections and followers on LinkedIn know that, yeah, I'll have some specials after the first of the year, especially for people who want to participate in my new programs. I'm doing classes, I'm doing webinars, I'm going to be having coaching groups for people to get together and work with each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other, appreciating each other. That way, when we trust, we can surrender. And that's what laughter is about. There are two different ways you can get dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. One of them is laughter, and the other one is orgasm. If we know that we can create the experience inside of our bodies that we have with sexual intimacy just by being good, positive energy around people, those are four amazingly powerful hormones. We're making the world a better place. We are making our environment more positive. We're making the people in it more healthy. And we're making our own mind and our own heart and our own body healthier and stronger. The power of synergy is what we create with each other. Who are you accountable to in your own mind? Think about that for the rest of this week. And if again, if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email. And yeah, this is BBS Radio, The Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Have an amazing week being powerful.